Welcome to the last Baltic Triangle podcast of 2020, or, if you like, the first one of 2021, depending on when you're listening. From me, Mick Ord.
And me, Mark Reeson.
We hope that you're healthy, coping okay during this seemingly never-ending crisis, and at the very least, looking forward to a happy and healthy 2021.
And rather than dwell on the past and the difficulties we've all experienced over the past 12 months, we thought we'd spotlight a few organisations who've brought light into the darkness in the recent months. Of course, there's no shortage of positivity in the region, even though all the short-term economic predictions at the moment tend to be on the gloomy side. So Mick, you've been hearing about a new community interest company that was only set up a few months ago, which helps to rehabilitate people who've been addicted to drugs and drink, and who are now hoping to expand their services even further, such is the demand.
I started smoking weed when I was 10. I grew up in Toxteth, LA. Like, my dad was an alcoholic. He drank himself to death, so I watched that. And so I've got a bit of... I'd say I've had a drink problem since... I was thinking I was only age 14.
We'll be hearing a bit more about the impressive work going on at One Step Supported Homes a bit later.
And Mark, you've been visiting the Everyman, not the theatre, but what's known as the Other Everyman on Victoria Street in Liverpool city centre, which is a luxury cinema and leisure venue based at the Met Quarter, in a building that also houses the Liverpool Media Academy.
We're not limited to blockbusters, and I think that's the beauty of us. We aren't a multi-screen cinemaplex, but we're also not just screening independents, we're both. And that's amazing here, and that's what we really enjoy. We've got a unique relationship with Netflix, where we get a lot of their new releases a couple of weeks in advance.
But first, earlier this year, just before the first lockdown, I met an inspiring woman, Lynn Eaton, who runs a number of houses of multiple occupation in Liverpool for people who've been addicted to drugs or alcohol, often for many, many years. In fact, I met one bloke who'd been addicted to heroin for nearly 40 years. But these are people who are serious about kicking the habit and going straight. Lynn runs a programme called One Step Recovery, and although this has only been up and running since June, they've achieved some very impressive results with the 20 or so people who've been living in the various homes around the city. There are a total of 4 such houses, and they're hoping to expand even more in 2021, such is the demand for their services. I met Anthony and David, who've both been helped by One Step Recovery over the past 6 months or so. But firstly, from Lynn herself, who worked in the care sector for 12 years before setting it up. She says they have a smaller, far more family-orientated approach in their recovery-supported accommodation than many of the other organisations that do similar work.
The houses have only got 5 in them, so it's very much run as a family. So of a morning we sit down, we talk, and talking to the kids, because we very much can pick up from that how someone's feeling. When you start to get a larger number than 5, it becomes a little bit more chaotic and harder to get to know, you know, yourself. That personal sense of those once you start getting over the number of 5, doesn't it? Anthony probably gets that as well, do you, Anne, from your point of view?
We are actually quite family orientated. It makes it easy just to kind of like get used to people, get used to personalities, behaviours in the house. You know, you get to know one on a more deeper level, if you know what I mean. Whereas if it's like 10 people in one house, it's going to be hard to function, do you know what I mean?
Anthony, you're obviously not from Liverpool, you're from London, aren't you? How did you end up here?
Oh, I ended up here because of recovery. I just needed to get away from my area and find a place where I can start again, a fresh start, a new chapter in my life. You know, being away from what you're so used to being around.
And how's it worked with you?
It's been brilliant. It's been brilliant, man. I mean, I moved into One Step in August and I've never looked back. You know, I think this place is just so ideal for me. Do you know what I mean? And I'm getting every opportunity I can to excel in my life. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
And what were your particular issues?
I just lacked motivation due to, like, you know, having a violent upbringing and then sort of going through a phase where football wasn't going to work for me anymore. So then I started selling drugs, got into drugs, and you know, the madness, just being in a madness, and you need to come out of the madness and step into the light, you know what I mean, and just see what life's about. And, you know, grow up. You know, you have to grow up. And, you know, if you don't grow up, before you know it, you're, you know, half a century, 50 years old, and you haven't accomplished anything. Do you know what I mean? So, and also family pains, family heartbreaks, you know, when you're a drug abuser, you know, you affect a lot of your loved ones as well.
And had you tried any other recovery programs before?
To be honest, if I'm being honest with you, Mick, I went to a few CA meetings, Cocaine Anonymous, but I wasn't ready to quit, so I was going there for the girls.
Do you still keep in contact with your old friends, or have you cut all that out now, having moved to a new city?
Yeah, the ones I still speak to are the ones who are non-addicts. She used to tell me, "What, you know, stop doing that, stop living this life." But yeah, I have cut off majority of people.
How difficult was that?
The first 2 weeks may be difficult, but after that, I was all right. Yeah. I mean, I still get the odd call now, like, to ask if I'm still selling, but I've got to change my number.
We haven't touched on COVID at all. It's the kind of elephant in the room in some ways. I've read a number of reports saying that more people are being addicted to drugs and drink because of COVID, or COVID was one of the reasons. Is that something that you have a view on, Lynn?
Yeah, so we did have a lot. We have had a lot of people who relapsed. We took some people in who had been at home with mental health concerns and had turned to like prescription drugs because the isolation had impacted massively on their lives. They started, they just started staying in bed, going to the chemist and self-prescribing themselves, self-harming. So in that sense, it did. I think people with the drink, it impacted more. I don't know how you feel,
yeah,
David.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that was what spurred on. If you like, the fourth house, there was a lot of people who even have families and were living at home, but their drinking had just spiralled out of control. It had always been a problem. They've been in and out and getting detoxes, but the COVID actually impacted that much. But we have people who actually live with us away from their children and then go home for like a night or the weekend. But they need that structure and the boundaries of the house to keep them on the straight and narrow. So we do lots of work around COVID people who've massively been affected. We've been lucky, we had an assessment done with NHS fairly early on, which meant as long as we kept the 2 metre rule and the very other things put in place, we could continue to give the support to the houses, which we were really grateful for, because a lot of the houses would have sort of fell because they hold on very dearly to that added support. They ring us. We have a sort of open door policy. Even if I'm not there or the staff's not there, you can ring us and talk about stuff, because talking's the key to keeping well. So whether it's mentally or not using, they will all talk and they will all pick up and we'll all talk about whatever it is.
Lynn, how typical would Anthony's story be?
A lot of people, like Anthony said, he had to get to the point where he made the decision that he'd had enough and he moved. Until you've hit that low and made the decision, which is the majority of our people who live with us, of course, I want it, because the house is a gift. It's not a right. But we can't actually do your recovery. We can give you the tools and the place to do it and the support you need. So Anthony lived previously with another organisation before he came to us, which was on a bigger scale. And I think he struggled a bit in the chaos of it, didn't you, Anne?
Yeah, so basically, you know, in that environment, it was chaotic in the sense that, you know, the rules that were being implemented weren't rules that are sustainable. So they would say, oh, if you relapse, you can come back 3 days from then. And then, you know, the whole money game of like, oh, okay, you're filling up the rooms, but you're getting people who are basically going to sabotage the whole point of recovery for people who want to get clean, who want to stay clean. So it was like just stuff like that. And then the person in charge really wasn't really taking full command, you know what I mean? So whereas where someone like Lynn, you know, when you've come into an organization, what she says kind of sticks. Like, if this is a rule, we stick to it and we go through with it, not like we change it at the last minute, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Would it be fair to say that you run a strict regime, Lynn?
I think we're fair, but fair.
Fair.
But we have boundaries and we have order and structure. And so we do have our rules, but then the joy of getting to know them individually, we can almost pick out when they're struggling before they actually get to that point where they've relapsed. But no, we do implement the rules and we are firm, but we're fair. Because you've got to remember, a lot of addicts have been rejected in their lives and have never had that structure and that place to call home where it's been safe. So the easiest thing in the world to do is just to open the door and throw them out and shut the door. But to actually look at the reasons and the behaviours and why they're behaving in that way, to try and change the thought process. So we've had people who live with us now who've been in and out of supported accommodation purely because the people just haven't taken the time to get to know them and to watch the behaviours and to see what makes them tick. And they're all now starting to hit a point, you know, like a month clean, which for some of them is really good. A month, 2 months clean is a massive achievement, because previously they've been trying in and out, in and out. David talks to them because he's done his recovery. And
yeah, Liam, I just try and like sort of, like I know a bit about it because I'm a recovering addict, alcoholic myself. So yeah, it's just trying, as Lynn said, trying to change behaviours and mindset and just making them feel part of it, a bit of support. And just like as Lee and Lynn have said, it's like a big family. We teach everyone with respect, everyone's got a voice, and we just try and support them as best we can. We do certain, the Lynn brings people from other outside places, like do CBT courses and other external agencies where there's like a counsellor who comes into the service. It's good to be here, and the support's good.
And how long were you addicted to alcohol for, David?
I've had a problem with it since I started smoking weed when I was 10. I grew up in Toxteth. My dad was an alcoholic. He drank himself to death, so I watched that. And so I've got a bit of, I'd say I've had a drink problem since, I was only age 14. And I had a massive cocaine problem as well. And it was mainly environment. And I always had a bit of a void. I needed filling. And I was trying to fill it with drugs and alcohol. I've been through the prison system. I was in and out of prison a lot and things like that. And yeah, I just used drugs. Every time I'd get out, I'd just fall back into drinking, using drugs. And just the criminality of finding the money for that like £200 a day habit I had. It was constantly stuck on that Ferris wheel, and it was a horrible place to be in. And it's only recently this time I've been in recovery for about 5 years, but I've been clean for a year now. And it's only by doing, realising I had to change my behaviours. That's what kept taking me back out there. I had to change my mindset, and I've been filling the void with good stuff now. Like I met Lynn, started volunteering from Lynn. And yeah, and I've been here for about 6 months now. And yeah, and it's about changing my behaviours. I'm filling the void in both ways, like helping other addicts and helping people in the service. And
what was the tipping point for you, David, that made you change your ways? Because it's very difficult to change 10, 15 years of poor behaviour, isn't it?
It's because it's ingrained in you. So what I do now, I've done a lot of work on myself. I've wrote a lot. I've done loads of writing work. I've sat with counsellors. I've just been, as I say, it is hard to change your behaviours fully, but I just find that by doing things like this and giving something back, that helps me massively.
And we have our bad days, don't we? But when you actually see them and they're getting it and they're turning their lives around, there's that achievement, and we celebrate everyone's achievements. So, you know, whether it's the 30 days, whether like Ant now, he had his 6 months, they're all achievements. And we don't take it for granted. Every week when we drug test everybody randomly, and they all pass. That is an achievement, not only for us, but for them as recovering addicts. It's nothing better than we both feel the same when you can actually see it. And when we do morning check-in and we talk about it, we go, God, look at the growth, look how much they're getting it. Even we have people with mental health problems and they struggle to open up. But we do a little thing where they write, and they write us, and we have a positive and negative text a day to help people to open up, so we get to know them, so they share that with me. So if it's someone for me, they'll share it for me. If it's someone who in the house where David goes, they'll share that with David. So that all those little things are getting to know them and encouraging them to know that they're secure and we've got them. I would say that quite a bit. We've got this, haven't we? And when you haven't got it, we've got you. So we can do it. There's nothing we can't do.
We sort of feed off each other as well. It's like positivity. It helps massively. If you're stuck in a negative environment, you thought a negative. And what I had to do was change my whole lifestyle, change my environment, change me. I had to change my whole, I had to get a new phone number. I had to drop a few people that used to keep me down and keep me in it. And yeah, and the difference is massive. Is massive because, you know, my mum lets me in her house now and things like that. I can be around my own family without them being fearful of me and nervous and things like that. And it's a boss thing to have because I'm like it now from a year ago over the road. But now I get invited to all sorts. My family accept me and they rely on me now as well. And I've become a reliable member of society and my family. And even my own brother like brings me up now when he's struggling and things like that. And a year ago, I didn't have that. I used to be fearful around me. Fear I'd go to prison again. Fear I'd hurt someone. Fear I'd hurt myself. Fear. He just had a massive fear, man. So I was unpredictable. And yeah, I was stuck in that horrible mindset. And it's only this time I've just changed my whole outlook on life. And I realise now it's all right to be me. I'm not fearful of being me anymore. And I've always been, yeah, I've done all these things through fear and stuff like that. And it's not a way to live in. Yeah. I'm living a nice, healthy life now, doing the right things and things like that. It's working for me. I get a lot out of helping people in this service and stuff. And
I think Anthony can probably back me up on this because obviously I can see David's growth. Some of when you first came, you still had some of your old behaviours and bits and pieces, didn't we? And even then, like, you know, it would be like, what are you doing now? What are you doing that for? And then we talk about like why you were behaving in that way. But I think it's good for the other service users, Anthony, probably you can actually see what doing the right things and keeping clean and
stuff. Yeah, the progress. You know, like, you got
David. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even Danny, you can see Danny as well that, like, you know, the growth of just trying to like understand the process of things and not just jump the gun. You know, just come impulsive like on things, but actually think before you act. You know what I mean? So the patience has come in and stuff, the growth, yeah.
So when we have a problem, I'll come round and we'll talk about it as a family and as uncomfortable as it is. Everybody hears how they feel and everyone now understands that you have to talk about it. Whether it's good or bad, you have to feel it.
Yeah.
That keep everybody clean.
When I visited one of your houses in March, you had a total of three in Liverpool, and you've now got a fourth and you're hoping to expand. What has kind of galvanised that? What has meant that you are keen to expand?
Just having faith in the programme and knowing that we're actually making a difference and it's working. It's different in my own, like, in my own idea, but to actually see there's 20 people who live with us at the moment and 20 people are all clean, all getting it, all gaining those life skills to be able to live independently. We've got people now who are starting to go out and they're doing training courses, they're doing voluntary work. So it's actually, we're living. It's okay what my ethos is of what the company should be, but it's actually coming into fruition now. People are 8 months clean and stuff and they're actually living the programme. And there's people, we've got a lot of self-referrals. We've got people coming to us who know other people who live in the service and are like, well, I can see the change in here or I can see the change in him. Have you got any room? And at the moment, we're like, literally, there is no room at the inn. And so, obviously, an additional house would be a blessing because we are actually turning people away now, which is hard because when you put that hand out and you ask for help, it's very, very hard for us to say, unfortunately, we can't help you because we've got no room. And we've been lucky as most people come and tend to stay with us. The only people who don't are the people who come and are very chaotic and it impacts on the rest of the house. So they're not ready for it. So we have to say to them, unfortunately, we're a completely dry house and you've used drugs or drink. And so I can't have you impacting on the other four people who live in the house. Everyone who's here now wants it. So that's really, really good. Because you know, even if you don't want to pick up, you don't want someone sitting next to you stinking a drink or sniffing away, because you know the sign of an addict. And you automatically take your head back to that place. Mm. So all being together and drawing strength from each other and all being clean is a massive thing.
Anthony, how does your future look like now? What have you got? What are your plans for the future?
For me, I see myself having my own network, my own radio station, my own podcast, and then I'm just going to delve into the media side of things. I don't know what's going to happen, but I want to have my own platform where I can talk and reach out to people. So, and, you know, invite people on, discuss about things as well, yeah.
And what about you, David? What have you got any plans for the short to medium term future?
My plan is set, but I've just started doing a few qualifications in this in this sector through Lynn got me in touch with like the MVQ people and things like that. So I'm looking to, I'm heading for a career in this, what I do now, around drugs, alcohol, and maybe stretch out to mental health. And just keep giving back a bit of my experience and knowledge in this sector. And that's my path, hopefully. I'm a loyal person. I'm gonna stay here at this company and just try and push it on and try and I've got passion for it now, because of the life experience and stuff, it's good for me. This is just as good for me as what I give to them, they give to me. So it's brilliant for me.
Lynn Eaton there, the service manager at One Step. Mick, what a fascinating insight into the work they do there.
Yeah, and it's become a bit of a cliche, but a lot of people say small is beautiful, smaller is beautiful. And I think with that kind of work, it really is, because the amount of intensive work they do to the clients, their service users, they are like a family, as we heard from the two guys there. And I think, I really hope they go from strength to strength in the future, because they've got four houses. They've only really been going since June and were designated a CIC in September. So the demand is certainly there. And particularly after COVID, Mark, I think a lot of people have been under pressure, haven't they, in terms of drink and drugs and prescription drugs and you name it, really, you know.
Yeah, for sure, Mick. One thing I was curious about was whereabouts they're situated in the city. Have they got multiple venues? Are they dotted around, or are they mainly clustered in one part?
No. There's four at the moment, and they're all in the, broadly speaking, the north end of the city. Yeah. But they want to get more, you know.
Really interesting as well to hear the different accents of the guys. It's, you know, a lot of people would probably be surprised to hear maybe some Southern accent in there as well. But, you know, it just shows you what a cosmopolitan city we're living in right now.
Yeah, well, Anthony, I was having a difficult time in London. Anthony lived, I think, in Tottenham in London. And I think he tried various schemes, as he said, and they hadn't worked out for him. And so he came up here and he's working with Lynn and the other guys in the houses. And he's quite an inspiring guy himself. He's, as he said, he wants to get into radio or podcasting or the media or something like that. And to have that ambition after being through what he's been through and what he's put others through, I think has got to be complimented, really.
It was interesting to hear from David as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, David, I think, wants to continue on his voluntary work at the moment and become a care worker. And I think quite a few ex-addicts find that they can give so much back to society because of the experiences they've been through.
Yeah, I mean, who better, Mick, to talk to guys in the same place than someone who's already experienced it themselves?
And these are a section of society, it's fair to say, that mainstream society kind of look down on a lot of the time, you know, and they think you're wasting your time working with people like that. And Lynn has proved that that's certainly not the case. So maybe we can visit them at some time in the future and just find out how they've got on. It's a difficult thing they're all doing, all members of that family, but I really wish them all success.
So, Mick, talk to me a little bit about Baltic Broadband.
Yeah, Baltic Broadband are our business sponsors again, and we'd like to thank them for all their support this year. They are, in case you didn't know, a Liverpool-based internet provider for businesses and charities. They disrupt the industry dinosaurs who charge high amounts for low speeds and poor service. Baltic Broadband have got 24/7 engineering support from engineers who are based in Liverpool city centre. They own and run their own network around the UK. They offer same-day setup for internet connections for customers in need of urgent service. They've got a range of simple and easy-to-understand broadband packages. I put it solely for business use. And they're also, and I know you're very green, Mark, and they're also 100% carbon-free, ultra-fast internet and fast installation as well. That's Baltic Broadband Limited.
Many, many businesses across the region have been impacted by the various lockdowns that we've had. And cinema businesses in particular have been very badly hit. I thought it was a really good opportunity to pop along and speak to Stephanie Palmer, who's the venue manager at the Other Everyman Cinema situated in the Met Quarter, just to find out what the experience is at the Everyman that makes it different from any other cinema.
It's the experience here. It's all about the hospitality. We pride ourselves on the service that we give here. You're greeted at the door. You're served in your seats. You're walked through to your seats. We do announcements before the film starts. It's all about hospitality here. We've got a fully stocked bar, which is fab. Anything you order, you can have delivered through to your seats in the film. We deliver during the trailers and adverts. It's a whole night out. You come here, you have your drinks, you watch your film, and you can sit, you can have a meal, and then afterwards you can enjoy yourself, have a couple more drinks before you go home.
Just describe to me what it's like to in these cinemas themselves. It's not your regular seats, is it?
No, it's sofas and armchairs. It's the absolute dream. It's the ultimate luxury. It's difficult to stay awake. I can't stay awake when I'm watching a film at home. And I do warn customers here, I'm like, you will get comfy and you will struggle to stay awake. It's armchairs and sofas, lovely cushions. We've got little tables where you can put your food, put your drink and just sit back and relax.
So you mentioned food then. So what kind of food can we expect?
I mean, I don't want to blow our own trumpet, but the food here is fab. We're very proud that we use the same butchers as the Queen. We do fresh burgers. We do pizzas that are hand-stretched. We do hot dogs, as you'd expect in the cinema. We do fresh guacamole and tortilla chips, salsa and tortilla. We do substantial meals, which is fab. And as much as that can all be delivered through to your seats during the trailers and adverts, we've got a beautiful bar area and you can enjoy that food in the bar area whilst you're shopping around Liverpool as well. And you can come have a substantial meal, have a drink and enjoy the experience that we offer. And we do a fab range of cocktails as well. And then alongside that, we've still got the traditional snacks that you'd expect to see in the cinema. So we are one of the only companies, cinema companies that pop their own popcorn. So you actually get that smell, but it's authentic. We make the popcorn. If you get here at a good time, you'll see it popping. So it's freshly popped, warm popcorn. We still do the chocolate buttons. We still do the jelly sweets, but it's about that unique experience.
Tell me what it's been like trying to operate a cinema in the COVID pandemic.
Do you know what? It's not that different. And I think, again, that's one of the best bits about the experience here is that nothing really has changed. We're obviously 100% safe and secure. We're always sanitising. We're always cleaning. Anything that gets touched gets wiped down afterwards. We do ask that everyone's wearing the masks and we do serve you seated. But aside from that, you won't feel much different. It's as it was with masks on. obviously, depending on the tiers we're in, depends on the service that we offer. Unfortunately, now if we're in tier three, we're not able to open or operate. But tier two, service to your seats, which we were doing before anyway. As long as you have a ticket, you're welcome to have a drink. You don't actually have to have a substantial meal. So we're very pleased about that one. That was a new update in tier two. Experience says, as usual, hospitality as usual, films as usual, which is fab, and new releases coming up soon as well.
So talk to me a little bit about the arrival of LMA here in the Met Quarter. I mean, it's totally changed how the Met Quarter looks, and it's an exciting new addition to the city centre. How has it impacted you?
Oh, love it. I mean, first of all, I just think what the students do at LMA is fantastic. The skill, and we've got the best vantage point. We can see them all practicing. I see the dancer groups and I'm like, I wonder what theatre show they're performing for, trying to guess which ones. It's amazing. We've been really, really excited. We've watched it start from the beginning all the way up. And it's bringing in, I believe, 700 to 800 students. And for us, that's amazing. It's a regeneration of the Met Quarter. It's breathing life back in. It's having people walking around. And, you know, hopefully they'll be coming in and enjoying the cinema. We had the pleasure of hosting LMA throughout lockdown. It was really nice to see the students come in. They did some safe networking events. They were using the screens for gaming sessions to watch their own pieces, which was really nice. They've been filming in here. And so to be able to see them use the venue has been really, really good. We've been able to work with them to create some student deals. So we do student tickets. Sunday to Thursday, they get a free pizza with their ticket. So it's been really, really nice. It's been nice to have them, and it's nice to have that bit of life back in the Met Quarter.
I mean, it's a great little location to be using for film sets and things like that. And I know, speaking to some of the students and being in here myself, it's a really unique experience for them to be in around it in the venue. So this venue itself, you can actually hire it, can't you? Talk to me a little bit about that, the marketing plan for that.
Yeah, so every screen is available to hire. We've got four screens here. Biggest one's 118 seats, smallest one's 32. And we don't really have a limit with that, as long as you can keep within your bubbles and distance in the screens. You can pick whatever film you fancy. You can pick whatever time you fancy, whatever day, as long as we've got the availability, of course. And food and drink is all there. It's as it is. If you've made your own production and you want to show it, if you've got a family favourite, birthdays, anything like that, the screens are available to hire. We do corporate hires, everything.
Tell me then about this idea of collaboration. I mean, is there any limit to what kind of collaboration people can talk to you about at the Everyman?
No, there isn't. We are open to all and every hire idea. We do have a private hire team, and they deal with bespoke pricing. But once that's all hashed out, in terms of the venue itself, we're very open and very easy with what we do and who we collaborate with. Lockdown, very first lockdown we had, we were looking at working with Merseyside Police for the anti-knife campaign. And that was really important to us, to be working with Liverpool and the Merseyside Police to get that message out there. They've done a short film. And hopefully, when restrictions are eased, we can pick that up again. But it's really important for us to work with the community. If we find a project that we're really, really interested in and we think we can support, we do. Charity as well, elf screening. We did Elf Day the other day, which was fab. Staff, customers, everyone dressed as elves. £1 each ticket went to Dementia. So we are conscientious, and we're looking to see how we can help, and any suggestions we always welcome.
No doubt, like many other Liverpool businesses, you're looking to get going as quickly as possible. So what can we look forward to in the festive season from the other Everyman?
So Christmas films. We absolutely love the classics here. And the nice thing is that we don't just have to rely on new releases. I mean, this year, we can't rely on new releases. The cinema industry has been hit really hard with releases being pushed back throughout the year or into the new year, to next year. So we have relied on classic content. Halloween and Christmas, we've seen the biggest increase in admits in ticket sales. Home Alone, Elf, The Grinch, Die Hard, which is, you know, some people say Christmas film, some people not. I'll leave that one out there for people to decide. Gremlins. But then we're also really excited that we've got the release of Wonder Woman, which is confirmed for the 16th of December, which is our first blockbuster release since the first lockdown in March. And then right through to It's a Wonderful Life, which has already sold out for Christmas Eve. We're adding more screenings in because people love the classics when they come to the cinema as well.
So I know how important it is for cinemas like yours to offer a more bespoke lineup of films. What else can we expect to see then coming into the new year and beyond?
Yeah, so we're not limited to blockbusters, and I think that's the beauty of us. We aren't a multi-screen cinemaplex, but we're also not just screening independents, we're both. And that's amazing here, and that's what we really enjoy. We've got a unique relationship with Netflix, where we get a lot of their new releases a couple of weeks in advance. So we've been screening those now, and we're looking to do that in the new year as well. And then we're looking forward to blockbuster releases, obviously, the new Bond. And in the meantime, this weekend, we've got a Bond special weekend coming up with all the classic Bonds. But for us, we're looking forward to the new year, seeing what's out, what kind of niche things we can bring through, what's released as well, hopefully everything.
So how can people find out what's on and how can they book tickets? Where's the best place for them to go to?
So I would say our app is definitely the best place that you can book your tickets. It's really easy to navigate. It's very easy to go through and find what we're showing for the day and what screenings we've got on. Equally, we've got the website, which you can book through as well. You just have to select Liverpool. And we do manage our social channels in-house as well. So we have an Instagram, we have a Facebook. So if you do have any problems, then we always welcome people to send us a message. And you can guarantee that you'll get one of us in venue getting back to you to help as well. So we do that too.
We've already mentioned it, but talk to me about how people can contact you about hiring the venue and the screenings. Then is it the same place?
So we do have, you can message us through our social channels. We've got Instagram, we've got Facebook, and it's just Everyman Liverpool on there. Equally, we do have a private hire email, which is just events.liverpool@everymangroup.com, and they can email through to there, and then we'll sort out bespoke pricing for their event.
So, Stephanie, as someone who's had first-hand experience of the amazing facilities at the Other Everyman, I can't recommend it enough to people. I mean, Liverpool is definitely a city with a rich heritage and strong links to the film industry. So I personally think it's really important to have these fantastic cinema spaces like yours where we can showcase and celebrate our status as one of the UK's leading production centres. I just want to say thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
So that was Stephanie Palmer there for The Other Everyman. Mick, have you been along there to see a film? Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. I mean, I've been past that building loads of times and I assumed it was something to do with the Everyman Theatre, but it's not, is it? It's a completely different organisation.
Yeah, it's part of a much bigger countrywide chain. They've got cinemas throughout the UK and it just happens to be called The Everyman as well. But listen, mate, get along there. It's a fabulous place. The venue itself is brilliant. It's got a great bar. It's on multiple floors. It's got nice comfy chairs. Great food served at your table, as it were, when you're sitting down watching a film. It's a completely different experience to watch a movie there.
I will do that. I will make that a point of going there very, very soon.
It's a fantastic old building, smack bang in the middle of Liverpool. And with the Liverpool Media Academy, LMA, there as well, there's a real buzz about the place now. It's absolutely packed. And when I went along there, there were lots and lots of students everywhere. There was lots and lots happening. There was retail happening downstairs. It's breathed life into that particular area of the city again.
Well, that area, until they came along, I always felt when I went there, it was a bit underused. It was a bit kind of, and particularly when Liverpool One came along, Mark, it seemed to just be existing barely on the edge of the city centre. So it's great to see now it's got a real character and a buzz about the place, because that's what we need, isn't it? Particularly as we come out of COVID, he says, hopefully, you know.
And what you've also got to remember, Mick, is as well, there's lots of small businesses, sandwich bars, coffee shops, restaurants that are all feeling the uptake around that area as well. And we need to make sure as a region that we really do think about supporting our local businesses as well. I mean, because and that's exactly the way it's going to happen. You know, by seeing that new life breathe back into the Met Quarter and the association that it's going to have with the knock-on effects of the retail and the businesses around it, it's fantastic to see.
It is, Mark, yeah. Well, interesting stuff. Good to focus on some positive impressions after all the doom and gloom over the recent months anyway, isn't it, mate? If anyone's got any ideas for future podcast subjects, then do please get in touch with us. The email address is...
Here we go. It's info@BalticTriangle.com. Once again, that's info@BalticTriangle.com. Mick, tell us once more about our friends at Baltic Broadband.
Yeah, big thank you to our business partners, Baltic Broadband Limited, a Liverpool-based internet provider for businesses and charities. They're based in the city. Let's use them.
And thanks again for their support over the year as well. Much, much appreciated. So that's just about it for us, Mick. All that remains for us to say is to wish everybody a fantastic break for the festive period and to thank everyone for their support and for listening to us throughout the course of 2020. And we look forward to speaking to you again in 2021. All the very best.
Yeah, we do. Happy New Year.